listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. I have June James and Miss
Casey Connors.
Casey Connors from the North Shore area, and we're going to be talking about the LIA vision plan and Envision LIA and all the other issues that we've discussed here. And I don't want to bore my listeners with these seem repetitive, but there's so much needs to be said, and as I say, I extend an invitation to the others out there, HRI and all, and as always, so again, the people from the community came in and wanted to talk about this. So good morning, Chun, and good morning, Ms. Connors.
Good morning, Carol. Good morning, Carol.
Well, for starts, what is the issue out there, and if you could, our listeners, what are the issues that you see that have not been addressed and that you would like to be addressed and you'd like to share with the listeners?
Well, thank you, Carol, for having us. There are many issues. Our district is actually Kualaoa, and it's the beautiful rural district all the way from Ka'ava all the way up to Kahuku at Turtle Bay. So that's Ka'ava, Kahana, Punalu'u, Hau'ula, La'ie, and Kahuku. We think it's the most beautiful part of the island, of course. And in our district, right now, there are two large developments that look like they're moving in and could change the character of the country completely. And this is what we're very concerned about. I guess June can speak more about the pact and what it has done. And then we have these two massive developments. The five more hotels at Turtle Bay are now back in the Kualoa Sustainable Communities Plan. And this huge Envision La'ie is also, which is a doubling of the size of BYU, another 2,500 students, faculty, staff, plus their spouses and families, a whole new town between La'ie and Kahuku at Mele Kahana, a large La'ie Marriott, a tech park, and we think this will completely change the rural character of Kualoa. I think many people are unaware that this district is a little different. Haleiwa to the north of us, and the North Shore District is very strong and active. And to the south of us, there's Kamioi and Kahalu, and they're quite active. But our district has been a little sleepy, and I think the developers are moving quickly in. Our district has a higher percentage of Hawaiians, a higher percentage of Polynesians, and a higher percentage of illiteracy and people on public assistance than most other districts. So some of us think it's easier for the developers to move in quickly, and we have not traditionally been that organized. But our district also has some of the best of Hawaii. It has the incredible beauty, the beaches, the small towns clustering along the roads. We have wonderful crafters, musicians, farmers, and fishermen. We think we have the best of Hawaii, and this is what's really worth preserving, not just the country, but the culture and the people and the traditions.
Mm-hmm. June?
There's obviously a lot of talk about we could spend days doing it because there's just so many levels and so many areas that we could talk about. But Casey was talking about the PAC committee, meaning the planning advisory committee. For those of us who have been out there involved a little bit, the island of Oahu is actually separated into eight different areas, and ours is called the Ko'olauloa Sustainable Communities, and there are seven other communities, and all this plan I actually prepared in accordance with the city charter prescribed requirements for development plans, and these plans are to be accorded force and effect for such as all charter and ordinance prescribed purposes. And so it is to be a plan intended to help guide public policy, investment, and decision making over the next 25 years. And so in that sense, you know, plans are very, very important because it does become the public policy and the guideline for it. And of the eight documents, the plans for EVA and the primary urban center, to which growth and supporting facilities will be directed over the next 5 years, they have been called the development plans. So that's for EVA, where you have your Disney hotels and all those good things, good, wonderful development, and the primary urban center, you know, Waikiki and Bishop Streets and things like that. And so all these are policy guides. And the other areas out in Ko'olaupoko and Ko'olauloa, North Shore, are meant to be sustainable community plans. And so we are concerned, as a PAC member, I've been a PAC member and we've been in it for about 2.5 years. We are concerned that the process has not been religiously followed, and as a public citizen with no huge influence or with no huge finances, the process is all that we have. And so so it's important that we follow the process, because the process is what offers transparency and participation for ordinary citizens like us. And so it is with quite a bit of disappointment and concern when the Ko'olau Sustainable Community Planning Committee has not met for a year, and then in October all of a sudden we got a letter from the city that they have come up with the draft of this Ko'olau Sustainable Plan, and an email was sent out on Friday afternoon, and that meeting was going to be at the Fasi building on Wednesday at 2 p.m. And obviously there was fireworks because some of the people were not too happy with the last minute notice. And of course, to our surprise, the Envision Lightyear development, which have not been discussed, was inserted into that plan, and also the Turtle Bay issue, which a lot of us know that the Supreme Court had asked for a supplemental environmental assessment on April 8th with that. So this is the process that we are worried about, and to me, you know, I have lived in Lightyear for over 30 years, and I'm affiliated with you know, the entities there. I'm an alumni, and I've been president of the BYU Hawaii Alumni, you know, Association. To me, it does not really matter who the developers are or who the people are involved. It's the process, because if we do not offer transparency, who is to know that down the road another developer is not going to be able to gain that kind of influence that some have been able to gain. So I you know, again, Mr. Tanoe, I like him a lot. I think he's a great guy. But I think that when we had that quick meeting, and Casey was there too, for him to say that, well, I have met with HRI and the campus, and I'm going to put this in, it really contradicts the process, because the DPP, Department of Planning and Permitting, has specifically invited 24 representatives throughout the whole Ko'olau region so that they could give input. And all of a sudden, in the last minute, say, "Hey, I'm going to do it this way." And when we asked him who else he met, he said two mayors, and we're saying, "Okay, who are the mayors?" And so he named Hanneman and Caldwell. Mm-hmm. Okay, and again, you know, he can meet anybody he wants. I mean, there's no question about that. But again, PAC committee members, including those at the North Shore and those in Waianae, are really feeling disfranchised, because a lot of them have put in a lot of work and a lot of time, and to feel that the DPP has led them through it, all while knowing that they are going to do what they want and get what they want, and it was just kind of going through the show and going through the motion, and that is a concern that many have right now.
Well, again, as I pointed out to you last, I don't know if it's me or if it's just my ear, my hearing, and my heart. If you say you like Tanoi and he's a good guy, and then in the second sentence you say, but he's doing these things. So just for my listeners, someone called me the other day and asked, well, what is it? If Tanoi is the head of the agency that's sticking the screw to them, then how can they come and like him? He is a likable guy, but we're not here me to say how great he is. We're talking about how he is influencing and twisting and taking the pig's tail and making it look something different, you know. So I've met him too, but it seems that a lot of these decisions rest right with him to permit these meetings and what have you. So I don't know, maybe you guys know a lot more, maybe you get to go to breakfast with him on occasion, but I don't want to confuse my listeners. I mean, either the man is sticking it to you or he's not, and not just to pick on that, but I think that's the mixed message, and it probably speaks to the way they get you to like them and then take you to the slaughterhouse, as I've described many times. But anyway, got a caller. Good morning, caller. You there? You stay
up? Yes, I'm still here.
What's your name?
I'm Jim Anthony.
Okay, Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
All righty, how are you?
Could be a lot worse. The bottom hasn't fallen out of the market yet.
Okay.
Let's start with Tanoi.
Okay.
Okay, I want to pick up on your thoughts and say this, that Tanoi is going to lead us to the slaughter. There's no question about that.
Right.
I mean, if you want to make the observation that Tanoi is a likable fellow, I would draw on history and say that Hitler at times was a likable fellow. Now, I'm not saying that Tanoi is Hitler, but, you know, likable fellows for people like us in the environmental movement are not people to be necessarily trusted just because they're likable. So I think that's the first lesson in the politics of development that environmentalists ought to learn, that just because a guy working for the government is likable doesn't mean to say that he won't necessarily take you to the slaughter. And in this case, Tanoi is poised to take us to the slaughter, and we had better wise up to that, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, With respect to this whole issue concerning Envision Laie and developments on the Windward Coast, there has been a very large amount of what I call woolly environmental non-thinking, and I'm not talking about Jessica Woolley, although I might make the side observation, that Jessica Woolley's silence on this matter as the representative for this area has been absolutely deafening. We haven't had a squeak out of her on the public hustings concerning this entire, in my view, entirely destructive development. Now, moving on, HRI has never been, HRI, Polynesian Cultural Center, BYU, they have never been good stewards of the land. All you have to do is look at the historical record and you will see that 20 years ago, they were in massive violations of the Federal Clean Water Act, and we sued them. And we had we took them back to federal court on three separate occasions to get them to do what the consent decree that they had signed in 1989 required them to do. And to their credit, they eventually did it. But they only did it because we hauled them back to federal court on three separate occasions. Now, I mention this because history, in the case of a development applicant, is a very important thing, because based on what we know about psychology, that the best indicator of future behavior is past behavior. And the behavior of BYU, of HRI, as well as the Polynesian Cultural Center, is not a good record insofar as protection of the environment is concerned. HRI, for example, has steadfastly refused to pay its share of expenses that are needed to protect watersheds on the Windward side, based on the recommendations that are contained in the Kola Law Watershed Management Report, which is still languishing before the Water Commission. This development, I think, your listeners need to get, the one big issue they need to get, is that this is not a development project that is related necessarily only to producing affordable housing. For example, your listeners need to know, and they need to know very clearly, that in the debate that has gone on, the non-debate, in fact, that has gone on about affordable housing as part of Envision Laie, on no single occasion up till this moment have the prospective applicants indicated how much these affordable houses are going to cost. And that is a major, major flaw in this whole proposal that has been dangled before the public.
Mm-hmm.
If we do not know, if the people in La Hire who have for many years done without housing and are now interested in housing, if they do not know how much these houses are going to cost, how do they know that they're going to qualify when they find out what the cost is going to be? We know something, and BYU knows about this, and HRI knows about it too, that there, many of the people who need houses in La Hire, however many they are, and that precise number has never been publicly indicated to this point, how many of these people are going to qualify? And we can only determine whether they're going to qualify based on how much these houses are going to cost. And HRI has steadfastly refused to indicate how much the so-called affordable houses are going to cost.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, Carol, what is driving this project is expansion of BCC, the expansion of both BCC and BYU, which are the two most important money makers. Now, there is a political fact that some of my friends and some of my non-friends in the environmental movement, who can be awfully silly and blind and on many occasions, because they do not understand and they will not accept, and I don't know why this is their position, they will not accept that all development projects are political at their core. It is a matter of power and how power is going to be exercised. Now, the power behind HRI, BCC, and BYU Hawaii are the people who sit at the apex of the Mormon Church in Salt Lake City. I am not here this morning, Carol, to badmouth the Mormon Church. The Mormon Church is a church, but like all other churches, it has to be held accountable on the crucial issue as to whether it is a good steward of the land in a 600-square-mile island. And based on its performance, and notably its silence so far, the Mormon Church has not indicated that it is prepared to be a good steward. And my belief is that people like the president of BYU, Professor Wheelwright, and Eric Beaver, who is the boss man at HRI, these people have been systematically disinforming the Mormon Church hierarchy in Salt Lake City, and therein lies an enormous problem. And if environmentalists in Hawaii, environmentalists in the Windward side, whoever they might be, if they fail to recognize this political aspect of this massive development, which will destroy the Windward coast and with it important agricultural lands, if they are not prepared to address that issue, then they are not going to win this game. They need to be able to do that. They need to be able to confront it. They need to be able to widen the public discussion. They need, for example, I am prepared to debate Professor Wheelwright anytime, provided the debate is held in choosing and not on the BYU Hawaii campus, someplace neutral. I'm prepared to debate him on this. In fact, I've already offered to debate him on this issue on one particular occasion. I will end on this note that what we need on this occasion with respect to this enormously complex issue that is going to pave the way for the destruction of what remains of the Windward Coast, we need unfettered public debate. We enrich ourselves by engaging each other in productive debate within the confines of constitutionally protected free speech. That has not happened yet. The environmental movement has toyed around the edges of this issue. Most of their chief spokesmen do not understand the fundamental political nature of this kind of massive development, the money that drives it, the elites that are involved, and crucial political economic issues. And when you add to this mix the fact that our political leaders who are supposed to represent us in this area are silent, as Jessica Woolley has been, as Senator He has been, I think we've got serious problems. And unless we wake up to these realities, I don't think that this remaining semi-pristine area of Oahu is going to be saved. That's my position.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you, how possible is it? Is it thinkable or plausible to think that Mr. The gentleman from the church would debate you?
I'm sorry?
Do you think the gentleman that you mentioned, you would like to debate him?
Yeah.
Is he reachable?
Oh, yeah. He's the president of BYU. He's reachable. He's on the phone.
Well, let's if you're agreeable, maybe we can contact him and ask him to come into the station. Would you be agreeable to that?
I would welcome that. I think that's in the public interest.
Okay, well, if you would initiate it and if you could send me an email to carol@carolcox.com, maybe we can initiate something and have a lively debate. I'm sure, I know you, in some of the issues that exist out there.
Okay.
It would be lively. So if you could initiate that, and again, my email is carol@carolcox.com.
Yep, got it.
And you initiate it, and in the coming week, 2 weeks, whatever, we'll ask him to come into the studio, and the two of you can sit and share the greater insights.
I think we need to do that, and I will certainly do what you suggested. I will send him an email. I've been in email contact with him on previous occasions on different other issues. I will send him an email inviting him to participate in a debate on your radio show, and I will transmit his response to you. That work?
That's good, and it's 2 hours. We have 8 to 10, and so it would be great to just have them to sit and answer lively without having a representative or someone to answer for them.
Sure.
Because there are a great many questions that I have, and I'm familiar with this and some of the doings of DPP, the Department of Planning and Permitting, and for example, Tenoya's role is by design. He was, if we all remember, David Tenoy was the corporation counsel, and he represented the DPP for many years. And I've seen him do magic with things that normal citizens would go to jail for.
Yep.
So, and
I'm familiar with that.
So Hanneman elevated him and brought him in under Henry Ng with the intent of just having him for 2 years, Ng, and then would bring in Tenoy, and that was the plan. You don't get inserted in those positions without design. So that's what causes me great concern about this entire development and the locking out of people from meetings and holding private meetings. Ex parte meetings are just wrong. And then, are you able to get any information, either of you, Jim, any of you, from those meetings?
Oh, the information that I have, like all information that we try to get under these circumstances about meetings that are held behind closed doors, Inouye was the perfect leader of DPP for the Mormon church entities in La Hia. He met with them behind closed doors. The only purpose, if only we could put Inouye on the stand and get sworn testimony from him, that is the only way we can get reliable information from someone like a skilled lawyer who knows how to twist the truth, is to get it under oath. There is no avenue open to us yet to put Tenoy in that position. My personal view is that Tenoy has a track record that squarely places him in the box that I put people into that I wouldn't trust further than I could kick, and that's all of 32.5 inches. So we need to get we in the environmental movement need to get a good, realistic political grasp that this guy is not only a lawyer, but he is a lawyer with the kinds of values that are certainly opposed to mine, and in my view, his values are those values that we have long had throughout history in an island state like Hawaii that has led to its destruction and has made serious invasions into carrying capacity. This is the kind of guy who will make the argument, as he did at his confirmation hearings, which I attended, that, I've never done anything except what the law allows me to do. Well, the law allows people to do lots of things, and many of them can be entirely destructive to not only the human spirit, but also what remains to us of environmental integrity. So that's where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, and feel free to call anytime, and I'll be waiting for that email. And if he's unwilling to come, maybe you'd like to come back, and we'll file some UIPA requests.
I'll leave that to your discretion, and I thank you again for hearing me out.
Thank you, Jim Anthony.
Many thanks. Uh-huh. Goodbye. Have a good Christmas.
You too. Aloha. Sure.
Well, picking up on some of his comments, I certainly respect his opinion, but in my opinion, I believe that this is a city issue, and so it really the responsibility would rest on the city council, which we have a new city councilman now, Ernie Martin. Jessica and Woolley and a senator, he are on the state side, but this is a city issue. But I do want to add on to what Dr. Anthony was saying about Mr. Tanoe saying that he does things within the prescribed of the law. But what we're concerned about, and he has, to his credit, said it out loud that he does not consider the credits of any big development, the merits of any big development. And I believe that is where most of us out there as regular citizens are concerned about. We would like the DPP to take leadership to spend some time doing the homework so that any development that comes to the table, they are going to carefully examine the merits of it. Like the case of Coa Ridge, they went through it, and of course we know that there's a very high percentage of the city council will approve, the planning commission will approve, the land use commission will approve, and yet in the case of Coa Ridge, the people there are screaming, asking the city to think of the impacts, and it has not. And it's the same thing with development of on our side. For example, we have consistently said that Cam Highway is just a country road of two lanes. And in many parts of the community, Ka'aaba, Punalu'u, half of Cam Highway is being Ha'ula, being eaten alive by the ocean. And so common sense tells us that if we are going to have that kind of major development up that way, sooner or later, Cam Highway is going to have to be widened. And those of us who live up there, and those of us, or those of you who go to the country often, know that the only way that you are going to be able to widen Cam Highway is to get rid of a lot of the businesses and the homes along the streets, mm-hmm. along Cam Highway. And that's one thing that we really
want. Blow up the mountains.
Blow up the mountains.
It makes no economic sense.
But if I could ask, mm-hmm. but wouldn't that introduce the state?
That would then introduce the state.
Right. So are you suggesting that the state, your representatives, their Senator He and
That's
Woolley,
a good point.
Shouldn't get involved until they set off the first dynamite? What are you saying?
That's a good point.
I'm a little confused because isn't it better to be...
That's a good
have them involved, and see, this is what I'm saying. That the message that you're sending to me, and I have to be very frank with you, mm-hmm. is one that you want to go into the sausage factory, but you're afraid of blood. Mm-hmm. You're timid, and that is, I think, that is what they have used to placate that community. I think it is that mindset.
That's too nice.
No, neither. I just think that I would say, like, I found myself giving great attention to going along to get along on occasions when, in fact, the facts are there. If you know factually that they're behind closed doors, at what point do they have to do? Come and arrest a couple of you and incarcerate you and send you out of the country? What action will it take you? To get that moment, what was that commercial where I, at what point because if you're singing their praises on one hand and saying they're going to blow up the mountain on the other,
It's not possible.
So
those massive developments up there, it's not possible. I think Dr. Anthony was right in so many issues. When you look at these developments, either the my background's in economic development. So when you look at either of these developments at Turtle Bay or in Vision Lightyear, especially in Vision Lightyear, the structure is not for the local people.
In Maui County until 11:45 a.m. At 8:30 a.m., radar showed persistent heavy rain over the far western portion of Molokati. The area of heavy rain is nearly stationary. Other locations in the warning include, but are not limited to, Kaipuhi. A flash flood warning means flash flooding is imminent or occurring in streams, roads, and low-lying areas. Move to higher ground now. Do not cross fast-flowing or rising water in your vehicle or on foot. Turn around, don't drown. This warning may need to be extended beyond 11:45 a.m. if flash flooding persists.
All of Hawaii has to change the way it thinks about development and planning. Because in Vision Lightyear, the bottom line is how they did planning in the 1960s. Old-fashioned development. Exploit the land, overbuild, bring in thousands of more visitors or visiting students, and local people get stuck with traffic, overcrowding, overbuilding, and low-wage, low-skill jobs. And there needs to be a modern rural development plan and a modern economic thinking, a paradigm shift for all of Hawaii. The way all these sustainability plans are structured, I was shocked, because one of the key issues, well, the big key issue that we look at in economic development would be human capital. Is the goal to overbuild, or is the goal to raise incomes so more people can afford their homes and home and live in their hometowns?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big problem. When you look specifically in Vision Lightyear, they're talking about affordable housing, but isn't it for over 20 years now, Chun? 250 acres behind BYU, has been zoned for affordable housing and a tech park, and they've done nothing. There are people
and
like...
And that is part of the ongoing
stunned.
Concern.
We're stunned, because if you really wanted to take care of your people in your community, you would have started this. There's things like self-help housing that I've talked to, and I brought many people, opened up meetings and brought many people to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and brought in many, a lot of information on how we can get more help for affordable housing in our area, and no takers. That's been a shock to me, because there's plenty of room on the BYU campus for another dormitory. It's a huge campus, and it would still be lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're really interested in affordable housing, it's since President Stephen Wheelwright has been in there, they've been bringing in hundreds of extra students from BYU, Utah, Idaho, and Provo. They've been cutting Hawaiian students, cutting Polynesian students, cutting funding for Polynesian Hawaiian students, many things, and bringing in wealthier students from the mainland, Asia, and overseas. Traditionally, we were told that BYU, and on the website it says 2,400 students, but again, President Wheelwright's bringing in hundreds of more students without building any more housing. According to their own student newspaper, this semester now, just degree students alone, they have 2,780 students. This extra 380 students for our area, when they don't build any more housing, they go around renting affordable housing rentals. So this pushes local people out of affordable housing rentals.
Mm-hmm.
And often with BYU, a lot of the transfer students are already married, some have children, and a lot of the foreign students, some of them are a little older, they're married, have children. So it's not just 380 more people, it's a lot more people than that, than they have to hire the faculty. But since they say they're for affordable housing, but BYU has been worsening the affordable housing, because when you bring in hundreds of extra students and their spouses and families and staff and there's no housing, it pushes more and more local people up and down Kualoa out of affordable housing. There was talk that now BYU needs a bus from Kahuku or a bus from Haula because they have more and more people out there. So this Envision Laie says it's for affordable housing, but what it's actually doing is the opposite. And then the same thing they're doing with jobs. This is why they said that they're for jobs, but jobs and housing for who?
Mm-hmm.
Because already the racial composition is changing out in our area.
Mm-hmm.
For the job situation, for instance, over a year ago, they knocked down that little Laie Inn. Well, it was 48 rooms, but that Laie Inn was almost always full, even through these last couple of years. It was doing quite well. That Laie Inn brought in money to the community. It employed, you know, over a dozen and a half people. When they knocked that down, all of those people lost their job. One lady and her family became homeless and had to move out of the area. That Laie Inn, when you knock that down, it hurt the shrimp trucks, small souvenirs. It hurt PCC in their attendance. Many of those families would go to PCC, and more and more people are laid off. So when you look at the structure of this Envision Laie, and Jim is right, it doesn't make sense for the community. It does make sense if you look at it, and for, he's saying, a foreign entity. If your goal was to help the community, you wouldn't have structured the plan this way. If your goal was to make a big fancy U.S. Asia International Business School and retreat center for wealthier people and a nice town all the way from Laie to Kahuku for wealthier people, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then the plan makes sense. But if your actual goal was to help local people and for the community, the plan does not make sense.
Let me ask you, speaking of hotels, the Marriott has come back into the picture. Were they planning to build a hotel there at one time, and now they're back? Can you briefly speak to that?
We're very concerned. Some of us are very concerned about what's going on with the Marriott, because those were jobs that helped the community, and that was part of the stabilization of the community. We were told there has been, at the spot where the Laie Inn was, approval for a 220-room Marriott. And we were told when the Laie, many of us think that was a little too big for the country, but that's what was approved. And when the Laie Inn was knocked down, spokespeople from HRI said shortly the Marriott would be, they would start constructing that, which would be construction jobs and jobs for the community. Over a year later, that still hasn't happened. We've been asking and asking, because some of us have been trying to and working on helping the community with more jobs. What's happening? There's no construction permits, despite the fact that last winter they said they'd start to construct. And now we're hearing different things, like maybe it will be 300 rooms now. We're hearing that maybe 80% of the jobs would go to students, all these new outside visiting students, as a training center. And that was a big concern. 300 rooms in the beautiful Kualoa, it would, we think, damage the country atmosphere and damage your tourism to overbuild. Now we're also hearing in the August Kualoa Neighborhood Board, the spokesperson for HRI got up and said, well, we're not sure that that's actually the right space to build, so we're looking around. The space to build would be where the Laie Inn is. So, my goodness, why did they knock down the Laie Inn and all those good jobs for the community if they haven't had firm plans for the Laie Marriott? So that's a big concern. Robert Marriott, I think, is he called the president of PCC, Polynesian Cultural Center? And Marriott, of course, is a Mormon. They're Mormon and closely aligned with at HRI. We thought that they would be more caring of the community and the community's concerns and its suffering for jobs than to promise a hotel and then dither and then... I can't tell if it's very, very poor planning or an economic pressure tactic.
Okay.
And our concern, again, on the PEC committee side of it, as you know, in the sustainable communities plan, right now the city cannot tell us whether the Envision Lightyear is going to take up 300 acres or 900 acres. They cannot tell us. And so is that kind of a slipshod planning that really concerns us, because if we do not know exactly what we're getting or how it's going to be done, then it becomes very problematic, because it to me, planning for something so important and significant really need to have the merits and the pros and the cons laid out. I don't think anybody so unreasonable to say that, no, we don't want to hear about it, we don't want to talk about it. What we want is the opposite. You know, we want to know the details. Essentially, what the city is asking us to do is to just give a blank check and not knowing what's in it, and especially when there's so many concerns that need to be discussed.
Okay. What I'm going to do is we're going to take a break. We'll come back the next hour and sit and talk and bring up the other issues and point them out, and whatever you the issues, and hope the callers there. And for the caller that called in and said that the show was off air, I don't know. Other areas are not getting having any problems. So we'll be back shortly. And if you would, just this is the Carol Cox Show, June James and Miss Connors from the Lae area, and we're talking about the Ko'olauloa Sustainable Plan and Envision Lae. We'll be right back.
Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Silence
righty. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. And again, I have Chun James and Miss Connors here from LIA. And we're talking LIA, all of the issues in development here. So as we were saying, we talked about Marriott and whatever. Is there any politics that you can attribute this to? Have you noticed any politics behind this? Could it be a driving force, Chun?
I'm sure there is, like what other people have said. I do know that the HRI's main purpose is to make money, and rightly so, and that's fine. But I think sometimes that the way that things are done, that can be a little bit disconcerting and concerning. For example, we were told that the Marriott Hotel will be done actually by the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that it was going to be done.
The building would start.
It was going to be completed inside the news. And of course, obviously, it has not been done yet. And again, there lies the concern. How much can we trust HRI to see things through? After all, the perennial concern has been that they have been promising affordable housing for the past 20 years. Where
mm-hmm.
is it?
Mm-hmm.
As one PAC committee member said it, after 20 years, there has not been a stick in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you something. We talk about this hotel, and you say that they haven't started building it. The one that they should have started is what? How many rooms?
They've approved a 220-room hotel,
okay.
And by the drawings, it looks more than...
Well, okay, but 220, and so...
And that many people don't understand that has been approved.
Okay, it has been approved. Now, are you objecting to that? Or, you're saying that they haven't started building. Are you objecting to them building it, or do you not want them to build it? Or are you dissatisfied that they are delinquent in initiating these efforts to build it? If you could clarify just for me, if nothing else.
My concern as a PAC member, again, and that's where I'm coming from, I want to be able to see the city. I really honestly want to see a strong leadership from the city, because developers can come and go, but I'm interested in having the city represent the people rather than kowtow to any developer that may be out there. In the case of Ko'olauloa, we do have a sustainable community plan, and yet it has said that we would have hotels, but we're not quite sure what else is going to be out there. Industrial parks, tech parks, how many people is going to bring. For example, in the sustainable community plan, the DPP projects that there will be 15,500 population
mm-hmm.
in 2035, okay? And yet, earlier this year, the La'ie Community Association and the Kahuku Village Association wrote in an amicus brief to the Supreme Court, the Hawaii Supreme Court, that they represent over 15,000 people just in these two communities.
Mm-hmm.
And so, even in just the numbers alone, how could DPP in any good conscience predict that the population for the sustainable plan that is going to be only 15,500
mm-hmm.
when already two communities have already said that they're representing over 15,000.
But again, for my clarification,
uh-huh.
again, if you could speak to the specific question of the
uh-huh.
point, you're saying that are you opposed to a hotel period, or are you disappointed that they're delinquent in initiating the building of this and having it on time
mm-hmm.
There
is a wide range. Most people, I believe, want a hotel.
I mean, the two of you. I mean, you're
most people want a hotel in La'ie.
Okay.
Because there was already one. It's just
was one of the anchors for our the economy, and we would like a hotel. Most people don't want a huge hotel. And how to structure the economy and how to structure the jobs and the wages when we don't know what's coming in is a problem. If most people would like a hotel, not huge, because it would change the rural character. And you're right, there is a lot of politics involved. And what is looks like it happens to us is that a few real estate developers are grabbing and getting what they want. And it's a short-term grab.
And first come, first serve.
But it's also real estate developers
are
getting, and that's who has the political control. Because obviously, these massive developments will damage tourism, will be a third-class tourist destination, will damage ag, will damage your film and TV industry, the films out in the beauty. Those are good quality jobs.
Okay.
No one will be able to get up and down the road, so all the small people who need to get to work or whose jobs depend on getting up and down that road, stuck in traffic, and our quality of life. So yes, these decisions are being made and for a very few big real estate developers. And yes, short term, some construction people will get money out of it, and then there will be nothing. We'll be stuck in traffic. So that is a big concern, the huge impact it will have on everyone else. As we all know, who's just been named head of the Hotel Association. And
who was that?
Mufi Hanneman.
Well, I mean, we don't have, I mean, it's all over the newspaper.
Yes.
Mufi Hanneman became the head of the Hotel Association, right?
Right. But
so
it's very odd.
Do you think, what relationship does that have to do with this? Are you implying or insinuating that he somehow used the LIA envision or some of that to work his way to the top of the... what are you suggesting, or through innuendo, or whatever? What are you saying? I mean, just curious. The listeners would ask the same thing, I hope. He's there. Are you saying that maybe some favoritism on his part, or is it? Are you suggesting that?
I don't know enough about it. You know much more than I do about how that situation works. But I do know that short-term grabs and big money by a few real estate developers will damage the whole economy of Oahu, and that needs to be looked at. And yes, there people stand to gain a lot of money short term.
So I'm again, and do apologize, because you're welcome to come back anytime if you can tolerate my stubbornness here. Again, the hotel issue. You say that they're delinquent. Are you objecting to the hotel in total, or are you just concerned that they are delinquent in building the 235-room hotel? Just yes or no, because we've talked, you seem to introduce in politics and this. If you could, for my sake, because I'm a simple person.
It's a complicated issue.
I know, but
obviously the hotel was there before.
The smaller one.
The smaller one was there before.
But the bigger one is...
And I don't think that there is objection to renovating that hotel or having a new one. Yes.
But are you objecting to the number of rooms?
Most people want a hotel there.
Okay.
The debate is over the size.
Okay.
And we want it now. When we want to, to knock that down and then not to have something in place.
Okay.
And, yeah, it does feel like an economic pressure tactic. It feels like the community is getting squeezed. If I had to make an analysis, I would say the community is getting squeezed on jobs to approve an even larger hotel.
Yeah.
And that's what it, for me as an economist, that's what it looks like.
That's what I was hoping to flesh out here is that obviously...
I don't think it's just... Yeah.
I was hoping to flesh this out and let you folks share why you think that this, you've been put behind the eight ball. They've created a situation. Tear it down now, as you're saying, no economy, no, right?
Mm-hmm. And
that's what I was hoping we would get.
People move out of the area, and it's, there is one thing that I do agree with BYU President Stephen Wheelwright. He says in a little more than 10 years, if nothing changes, that a third of the homes in the Kualoa district will be vacation rentals or second homes. A third of the homes. So we agree on that. Our problem is we don't think the solution would be to herd local people into affordable housing at Mele Kahana Gunstock Ranch. We'd like economic development that raises the incomes of local people and that kind of economic structure put into place, not the same structure that caused the problem in the first place, which was low-income jobs and more service jobs.
My concern is that, and again, it's the bigger picture, you know, that we there ought to be a certain amount of trust, and based on the record, it is very hard to trust someone when the record has not been good, and that you know they have not walked. Mm-hmm. You know, walk the talk. And mm-hmm. again, it's back to that. I mean, obviously a hotel is a good thing, but there are also flooding issues that has to be, you know, mitigated. So again, it goes back to do we conduct our sustainable plan in a piecemeal method, you know, first come, first serve type of a
real
thing.
Estate.
Yeah, you know, real estate. And again, we really, really want the DPP or the city or whoever wants to take hold of the leadership to slowly and to properly examine the merits of it and to look at the whole picture and, you know, not to do it by knee-jerk or to do it by piecemeal. Okay, today is envision, what's next tomorrow? And the Turtle Bay issue as well. So,
yeah.
So those... that. It seems to me that's a reasonable request for constituents.
We would request modern economic development planning. And the state does some of it. It's called cluster development, where you look at human capital, where the focus is on raising income so people can afford their homes. And, of course, our area, the industry that's booming is the film and TV industry. And the people in Laie keep crying that there's no jobs, but they're filming at Turtle Bay, they're filming at Kualoa Ranch. This industry is absolutely booming. There's $600 million, according that we think has come in this year from this industry. It would be a tremendous growth industry, and that means that you don't overdevelop the land, and you develop people. You develop the gifts and talents of people.
Mm-hmm.
Our planning all throughout this rural area has not looked at how important these scenic areas are to this modern industry. Mm-hmm. This modern industry, film and TV, fits the gifts and talents of the local community. I mean, especially people around Laie, where the music is world class, the dance, the performing arts, the storytelling. This would be a way to look at modern economic planning. And this fits a 21st century industry. In front and behind the cameras, our people could shine and make enough to afford their own home instead of been herding into affordable housing. This modern type of planning has not been done anywhere in the state, and especially in the city council and these sustainability plans.
I have a call. A caller, you have a question, a comment?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm still waiting for the lady with the heavy accent to answer your question. Every time she attempts to answer, the other lady jumps in and changes the subject. Could you ask her that question again about whether or not she wants to tell the question you're trying to get an answer from? I'm still waiting.
They heard the question. You either you want to either the two. There's only two of you.
We're both from Asia.
No,
we both think a hotel is right. I believe it's how big the hotel will be is the debate. Most people want a hotel in Laie. We don't want a huge 300 room hotel, but we'd like a hotel, and we'd like a date and a start. And be able to plan on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the five hotels at Turtle Bay is also up in the mix, so that's a problem. And you'll have to look at how big a hotel in the country will that damage the overall tourist industry. If
well,
you have too many tourists and too much traffic in the country, we'd like people to look at that and consider that.
And we're talking about a Haleiwa Hotel.
Okay. Good morning, caller. You're back. We lost you there.
A big truck with a loud bumper just went by. the lady with the heavy accent still can't answer your question. The other lady keeps jumping in, too. And I want her to answer your question. I think you've been trying to get her to answer the question, but the other lady keeps jumping in and takes over.
What clarification did you want?
No, I want her to answer your question regarding the hotel.
Okay.
Every time she goes to answer, the other lady jumps in.
Okay.
I thought that we answered the question. He asked about hotel. Obviously, my response to him was that there was already a hotel, so there is no problem with the hotel there. Because I'm on the PAC committee, I am looking at developments on a wider scale in the Ko'olau Loa region. And my answer to Carol Cox was that I really, and not just me, a lot of us, would really like the DPP to carefully examine the merits and look at the whole picture and not plan by piecemeal, first come, first serve type of situation. Does that answer your question, sir?
You there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here, so... It took a long time. I know Carol kept trying to drag the answer out of you, but just one more question. With your heavy accent, I'm a Kekoa. I'm a born and raised here, and you have to go to La'ie a lot. Where are you from?
Your accent. I'm from Singapore.
Why would you?
I came here in 1975.
So why would you want to leave a beautiful place like Singapore and come here and try to get involved with local politics?
Because Hawaii is just as beautiful, and the reason why I'm involved in this is partly because of my PAC involvement. The department asked us to be on the committee, and I feel it's a privilege to be involved in the committee. And knowing that the city's purpose was to get community input, I have taken the efforts to talk to a lot of people around the Ko'olau Loa region. And so what I say is just not my personal comments, but it's also a reflection of the people that I talk to. And talking about Singapore, I'm not sure if you have been there. I see Oahu as Singapore about 30 years ago. Right now, Singapore imports practically every type of food from elsewhere. And the cost of living is so high that if you go to Singapore, you can hardly hear a bird sing. And people who want to get a vacation or to enjoy the open space and parks or to go hiking has to go to Malaysia or Indonesia or Taiwan. And so based on my personal experience, I am hoping that Oahu would not become such a city, such a cement concrete city that Singapore is now, because I believe upon my conversations with a lot of people that Oahu can have the best of everything. It can have high rises like Singapore in the Ewa area or in the Waikiki area, and it can also retain its country ambience and country living out here. So we can have everything if we plan it right, just like what Governor Ariyoshi had also said, that we need to plan, we need to continue to study, because if we do not do so, and if we just continue to allow developments to go on, we are going to jump from projects to projects, and incrementally we're going to lose what we hold dear about Hawaii, and that's where I'm coming from, sir.
Okay. Yeah, okay, just one last statement. I wish you had come here 30 years ago, then. Growing up in Waikiki, we would only have the Moana Hotel and the Rala Wine Hotel, and I would prefer to be that way, so you came here a little too late.
Okay,
thank
Ed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day, sir.
No, he is right, but we do need a balance for the area. We need the right balance, and building so many more large hotels and pegging your economy on tourism is foolish and irresponsible, especially in an era of bird flu, SARS, global terrorism, oil price shocks. It's foolish and irresponsible. And if these hotel industries, I mean, if too large a Marriott goes forward or more hotels at Turtle Bay, yes, it will benefit a couple people in the hotel industry and the real estate industry, and everyone else will suffer. And it puts your economy in a precarious situation. There's a better balance with the ag, with the film and TV, with the supporting of local crafters and environmental industries and local businesses. There could be a much better balance, and that's what many of us have been working on. And actually, Representative Jessica Woolley and Clayton Hee have been working on that. Money for ag and supporting a film industry and supporting local training for that. We recently, Steven Spielberg wanted to do a movie here, and we did not have enough trained people for that. And so it's gone to Australia. So, you know, God bless them, a couple of volunteers started a TV training center at Kahuku High School. This is the kind of economic development that would help raise the incomes and work with the gifts and talents of the local community that would make sense for their community, not more and more and more hotels.
Yeah, and you know, really, that is one portion. I mean, who is to say that someone who lives in a country cannot be trading online with Ameritrade or the New York Stock Exchange? So, you know, the world is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about economics, and one of the main concerns that I've heard as a PAC committee about this particular development is that the consultants have used pent-up housing as an excuse that, you know, they need to build a new subdivision. But on the other hand, you know, there are a lot of pent-up housing. Even then, the...
When you say pent-up housing, I mean, you're using terminology that listeners are not... What are you speaking specifically?
Pent-up housing, according to the survey that was done by Heart and Mind for Envision by EA, was that, you know, there's a lot of multi-generation living. And even then, in their own survey, it only show about 50%. But people need to understand that pent-up housing happens for economic reason. Families live together because they need to help each other pay the mortgage. They need to help each other pay their bills.
Okay.
And I actually have folks who tell me that, you know, they are afraid that if their children moved out, they will not be able to make their payments because they're depending on their children to make those payments. And already in La'ie, Kahuku, and Haula, there is a lot of foreclosures already. And so those are kind of issues that we really want the city to look into. You know, are we going to try to supposedly solve another problem, but in the process of doing it, we're creating more problems? Are we going to create more foreclosures? Are people really going to be able to afford the homes when we, again, do not know what the price is? We do not know whether it's fee simple or leasehold.
Okay.
So there's just a lot of stuff that needs to be discussed.
Let me ask you this. You make reference to the PAC that you're a member of. How vital or how important of a role has the city or DPP assigned the PAC? You keep making references. Have they slighted you? Have they invited you to the closed-door meetings, the PAC?
No, we have not been invited to those closed-door.
Are they listening to you? Did they dismiss any of your suggestions?
Well,
or all or some? Or
obviously, the idea of a PAC is a good one.
I understand that, but I'm just asking the specifics because we talked about it a couple of times before. And,
mm-hmm.
But in this situation, speaking of Envision LIA and that, has the city and the DPP and HRI and others given you the open door treatment, or have they slighted you? I mean, I've read somewhere that they didn't even take into consideration some of your suggestions, if you could speak specific. Real quickly, because as I say, we're going to...
Okay. The women on the PAC are not happy because we feel that Tanoe has simply dismissed years of discussion, and and for him to unilaterally just insert the envision light year without full discussion, and also to insert the back into the Turtle Bay five hotels and a thousand.
Slid it right back in, right? Wonder why.
So what, and of course the feelings are then is, why are you wasting your time? If you knew that you were going to do what you were going to do, just tell us. And the people in North Shore and also in some in Ko'olauloa feel the same way. If, you know, if this is what you're going to do, it appears that you are just going to go through the whole process. And then in the end, I think they use a football term. I don't know what they call it. When at the very end, you have an overrun and you just kind of go around to get the ball. I think that's the word for it, and it can't come to my mind. I'm so bad in football. But yeah. It's, you go through the process, and all of a sudden, there's a switch.
Yeah. Real quickly, as I promised, we're going to bring it to a close, but if you would, you have any specific points you want to close with?
I just want people to understand that the huge economic impact for all of the island that this, if either of these massive developments would go through, severely damage tourism, make you a third-class tourist destination, and if you're that, all the prices and wages in the tourist destination would decline. It damage ag, would damage your film and TV industry, damage anyone going up and down that road. I do not believe, looking at the structure of the Envision LAIEA, that the primary goal is to help local people with affordable housing or with jobs. That doesn't look like the way it's structured. It looks like it's structured for a big U.S. overseas business school and college. And so that I'd like people to look at very carefully, to look at the economic changes that have come into the area since Stephen Wilwright has been president of BYU.
I think we have a call for a caller. Are you there? Comment, a question?
Hi.
Real quickly.
Yeah, real quickly. There were two things that emerged from the hastily called meeting on Mr. Tanoe's part that he had with representatives of the environmental movement from this side. The one big thing was when he was posed with the question as to, well, what are you going to do about the enormous amount of traffic that this development is going to generate and its impact on Kamehameha Highway? And right off the cuff, what Tanoe said was, well, we're just going to have to widen it. And when the question of the costs of widening Kamehameha Highway were placed before him, he said, well, you know, that's a necessary part of doing government. The problem with that kind of answer is, one, it is shabby. Two, it is very shallow kind of thinking. And three, the costs of development in this particular case, with this kind of answer, underscores what has been going on in Hawaii and in this country for a very long time. Private enterprise creates problems. Government has to come in and subsidize them with infrastructure building, and the costs are dumped on the taxpayer. That is what, in part, the Tea Party movement is about.
Okay.
And so that kind of answer from Tanoe is extremely irresponsible. Secondly, in the calculus of Tanoe's thinking, and this issue has not been brought into sharp relief yet, when you build a massive number of houses such as is envisioned in the Envision LAIEA plan, and inevitably, since this is a free market economy, that people begin to buy and sell these houses, what will happen is there will be consequential impacts on property taxes and many poor people who live in this area who cannot afford higher property taxes are going to sell and have to move to the mainland. So local people will be replaced by people who have more money. The economics of this are very simple and very straightforward. If I've got $50 in my pocket and I'm under pressure, paying higher taxes and so on, and somebody from the mainland comes in and's got $1,000 in his pocket, I cannot possibly complete with him. Mm-hmm. This kind of thinking needs to be injected. These issues need to be injected into the current debate. Thank you for letting me speak again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. And there are also environmental issues. We have things like the critically endangered monk seals that give birth up and down our beaches, and Hawaii has more endangered species than any other area in the world. And so there are environmental stewardship issues. There's the water issue, and I'm sorry that somebody, an expert, isn't here to speak on that. It was my understanding that Kualaloa has the water for Kualaupoko and even some for Waimanalo. So there are many, many issues. Mm-hmm. There's also Hawaiian land, and I'm not an expert, mm-hmm. but it looks to... We have some Hawaiians telling us that the strip of land between Laie and Malekahana is Kuleana land, and now when you look at the new... Kualaloa sustainable or unsustainable communities plan. There's no Kuleana land, there's no Ahapua boundaries. Where is the Hawaiian land? That is mm-hmm. a great concern to me and to many about fairness and the Hawaiian culture. And I would love more people who are familiar with this to speak up on the importance of land and culture for the Hawaiian community.
Well, if you know some, refer them, and when you say speak up. And anyway, thank you, and June, you had a...
Yes. If I could please, there are a lot of discrepancy and contradictions in the plan, but I would encourage you guys to Google Ko'olauloa Sustainable Community, and please, if you have comments, you can always send your comments to info@hhf.com. That is a consultant hired by the city to take care of this plan.
HHS?
HHF.
F is in Frank. HHF.
.com. So info@hhs.com. Or you could log into defendoahucoalition.org for more information.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining me. And, keep us posted if you got some other developments, and obviously it's a can of worms and a big ball of yarn that someone is attempting to weave for us. But there's many things. Even the placement of a bridge out there takes a lot of time, and the DPP, fortunately, some of the planners that were there, DPP wanted to allow them to just go and build without taking in consideration of the endangered species, but fortunately some planners there still have integrity, and they stood up and said no, and you can only do it after the Oʻopu, for example, is not migrating up the stream or wet seasons or what have you. So it's that, but we need that throughout the DPP and the city and city council, so hopefully they do something. But anyway, thanks again, and you have a website other than the, that anybody can contact you if they want to contact you, Ms. Connors?
No.
Is there any phone number, email, or anything?
Probably the best one would be my initials, which is KC, so it's K as in kitten, C as in cat, stuff, STUFF, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, U, F as in Frank, at hotmail.com. And again, my background is in economic development, and we're looking at a real rural sustainability plan that takes into consideration many.
Okay. June?
You're welcome to call me at 808-293-9111, or you can email me at chun, C-H-O-O-N, at lava.net.
Okay. Well, thank you. Moving on to a different subject, and I want to bring, and hoping everybody have a good Christmas and good holidays, however you want to do it, and however you refer to it. But I'm hoping, here's my wish for Christmas next year, is that I don't have to turn on my TV and hear Frank DeLima or turn on radio. This is coming from nowhere, folks, but in this day and age, as we're supposed to be the melting pot and all of that, and I'm offended. I am personally now. I know a lot of you, probably even the people of the Filipino community, think it's humorous, but nothing like it would be like hearing Alvin and the Chipmunks sing Jane Gambales. But I think we, in 2010, I don't know, but I'm just annoyed by the jokes and the comments and the playing with the accent, because I'd like to see Frank de Lima sit down and talk to a great many of the Filipino people and understand that they are multilingual and have different dialects, and for him to and for us to sit down and allow him to. I don't care if it is a joke and if it is entertainment. Why did he entertain on himself? I'm sure he has a life that probably filled with jokes and what have you. But hopefully my wish, and I'm going to share this openly with all of you, publicize my personal wish, is that we no longer see the, I call it verbal bigotry, and it's an assault. And this is my opinion, so don't call me up and tell me that you're Filipino and you don't mind. I'm telling you my personal. I want to live in an era where we don't have to see people as an ethnicity being assaulted and insulted. So, and at their expense, we're entertained, not entertaining at all. So anyway, so much for that. We need to start focusing on some of the good things. For example, I'm able to provide you folks with a little bit of humor here. This is a good Christmas present. You know, we always talk here on the show about waste, fraud, and abuse. And I'm going to share something with you. This is an email. Now, we have the new mayor, and he kept his staff, and he's slowly picking and choosing. Mr. Carlisle is picking and choosing who he's going to keep, but he retained a great many of these people from the Hanneman administration. Now, I want you to listen careful. This is an email that someone anonymously sent to the show. David Shirishi. It's Wednesday, November 17, 2010. He wrote this to Chuck Hennenberg and Barry Torgerson. And it's regarding the inspection trip for 2010 RFP ENV 1772-18-820 cubic yard loaders, rear loaders. And the email goes on to say, Barry and Chuck, thank you for agreeing to accommodate Jim Quinones and Warren Vindenha to invite their spouses to the McNellis factory. It means a lot to the refuge division because these two employees are very appreciative of showing their wives refuge collection trucks are manufactured. The names of the four traveling to the factory are James Quinones, Marlene Ann Quinones, Warren Edward Vindenha, Althea Kuipo Vindenha, and Jim and Warren understand that they will be paying for the airfare for their wives. I will have them send a check to you when the amount is determined. Please have your travel agent to call Jim, 808-620, blah, blah, whom will discuss the flight dates and departure times with your agent. He will speak for the four of the traveling party. They do not necessarily have to travel with Chuck, as Jim will be able to get them from the airport to the hotel via the hotel shuttle. Please book them at a hotel that close, and I'm being trying to exactly quote, that close is to the Mall of America and has a shuttle service to the mall. Also, there's a train has the Mall of America as a terminal. Please find out whether that train has a stop where the Minnesota Vikings play their home games. Thank you, Dave. Now, let me lay the pitch out. Dave Shirishi is one of the higher-ups in the Refuge Department. He is the god, so to speak. He's the godfather of trash. And so we're going to send two workers back there to look at trucks that we already purchased from this. Now, the interesting thing, this is coming from BEI. It says the gentleman he's writing to. Now, the company that supposedly won the bid, apparently, is being asked to buy the tickets, airline tickets, and accommodate the wives of these gentlemen and these gentlemen, and in turn they would reimburse the company. Now, why would a higher up in the Department of Refuge Department be purchasing or coordinating, serving as wedding planner, family counselor, or travel agent for city workers to go back to a plant, to take their wives to a plant to see how trash trucks are made. I'm wondering how valuable it is to the taxpayers to have the workers' wives to understand and go back to Minnesota to see how good or how the trucks, trash trucks are manufactured. So this is what you get when you keep people on. Now, Mr. Shiraishi, of course, now is not one of the appointees, but this is what you get when you keep the higher-ups on, like Steinberger and those folks who allow this kind of nonsense to go on. And that's the great flaw when you, I think it's a nice thing to do, but you have to be careful when you keep them on, you're also keeping their baggage. And this is a practice now that has gone on and on and on. And on other occasions, each time we buy trucks or what have you, there's some benefit or something in the past where individuals have gone and gotten tickets to Vegas and what have you. And we know of these things, but you as a taxpayer, you just got your property tax reassessment, and I just thought it would be a little open Christmas naughty to just to share with you what is still going on. And now, is this wrong? I don't know. I don't know if it's wrong, but I'm wondering why would Mr. David Shiraishi have the time? Why we taxpayers are paying him to contact a vendor now? Are we going to, as taxpayers, pay for these tickets eventually? Are we paying for the wives? I don't know, but I guess if we were to go and ask, they'll probably have some excuse and show that, in fact, they were compliant, and they're going to reimburse the person who made the tickets, which is a private company. That private company, by the way, is AT&T Hawaii LLC or AT&T Hawaii, which is all owned by the Marathon Group and a conglomeration of BEI of Hawaii. And the owner of that, one of the owners, as I say, is Mark Tilker, M-A-R-C-T-I-L-K-E-R. He's a good friend of Mr. Hanneman, or was, as I recall. And he was appointed by Hanneman to the water, the commission, the water board, of BWS, Board of Water Supply. And now he's in the police commission. So this is a kind of, we're not saying something was wrong here, but I do know that when we have a higher up in the city playing, acting as wedding planner or travel agent for workers to go see the Mall of America and make sure their wives know how trash trucks are built, my radar goes off. So I don't know about you, but I smell something trashy here. But again, this brings me to another point, in that when someone gives a gift, is it reported from vendors? Well, you recall some while back, and we're going to talk about more extensively about this later on. You recall I filed a complaint with the Ethics Commission, City Ethics Commission, on Charles DeJoux with Mr. Toto. Mr. Toto wrote me back and saying there was no findings, blah, 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 and everything was in. As you know, the commission has limited resources which to do its work. It would help the commission investigation in this matter if you could inform. And they came back that basically there was nothing to substantiate this information. My conclusion is based on experience, my understanding of the relevant law and commission precedent as they apply the facts. If you believe that I have erred, he ruled that the commission, he found no sufficient evidence. Well, anyway, the commission, I appealed it, and the commission gave me the same answer Toto gave me. But one of the interesting things that out of just nowhere, and I get a letter, an email from the Ethics Commission telling me that I should tear up a letter, that an email discarded, tear it up. And it says, "Hi, Carol. a mistake was made when advisory opinion was sent to you. The commission had determined that because there was insufficient evidence to support finding probable cause that Mr. DeJoux had violated the ethics laws, the opinion should not identify Mr. DeJoux. Unfortunately, the PDF document title identifies Mr. DeJoux. I'm asking for your cooperation in following the confidentiality determination by the commission. Please destroy all electronic and hard copies that identify Mr. DeJoux. Norma will be sending you a properly redacted copy of the opinion on Monday, 12/10. If you have any questions, please contact me. Now, what he's asking me to do is to sit here and tell you, bring to you some attention, information that I have alleged that was true and factual, and he dismissed it. And now he made a grave mistake in accidentally sending me the facts that, in fact, what I had claimed was true. So imagine that behavior. This is similar to what, under the facts in this case, a city official, this is specific now, this is about, does you reasonably thought he or she had paid full value of the purchase, when in fact the donor paid for the purchase. That was my allegations early on, that the donor paid for the purchase and the foods and all of those things in Japan. If you recall, it was a trip to Japan. Furthermore, the donor did not tell the official that the donor paid for the purchase. If a city officer or employee does not have reason to know that he or she received a gift, there can be no influence or reward for the official and no violation of the gift law. Yet even though there is no violation, there is still concern that the official benefited from the gift. In order to avoid unjust enrichment, the official repaid the donor for the full amount of the personal gift. And I add, that was only because he was caught by me and the Ethics Commission. And that tells you how loosely we apply these words, ethics, the Ethics Commission. There's no such thing in this town, folks. We'll call it the mafia in metropolitan. You know, this is what we get when you are dumb enough to send me an email to ask me to be party to and participate in the cover-up and concealing from the public facts that I had brought. You'd have to be on drugs to even approach me in that fashion. But that's how loosely we operate here in the Wild Wild West, or in paradise. Our leaders would dare write and put it in writing to ask me to tear up something when that something would reflect that I was telling the truth and my allegations were accurate. I don't know what's happening, folks, but 2012, I hope it comes, because if this is what we're breeding and raising and using as leaders, I can't wait for 2012, whatever it presents. So anyway, I'm going to close, and I want to thank my guest. And there's many other instances, but I think in order for you to be able to digest your turkey and cranberry, you don't want to hear much more of this, because your taxes, you're going to have to run out and pay your taxes soon. But maybe it went up because they went to see the Vikings and their wives got to see the Mall of America. Okay, and we'll say Happy Christmas and Merry Christmas to Mr. Carlisle, and thanks for keeping these people on.
Snow is missing. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman. Then pretend that he is passing down. He will say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire. To face unafraid the plans that we made. Walking in a winter wonderland. Oh, can build a snowman, then pretend he's passing around. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, ma'am, but you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made.
Thanks for listening, and tune in again next time for the Kevel Cox Show on K108.